Some people need an introduction. Baruch Hashem. There are words that won't properly introduce the Rosh Hashiva. I think just his Torah in itself is an introduction, Rabbi Rav Schechter.
Thank you very much. Thank you. During the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Chacham introduced many additional Yamim Tovim over and above those that are in the Chumash. We have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. And then they had a sefer that's called Megillas Tainis. It's available in all the good bookstores. Megillas Tainis, Rashi says, why is it called Megillas Tainis? It was written down before the Mishnayos. When the Torah Shebaal Peh was still prohibited to be written down, they didn't have that heter. The Megillas Tainis starts Nisan Iyar Siv and Tishrei, goes in the order of the months, and it lists off all of the Yomim Tovim that were introduced by the Rabbanim during the period of the Bais Sheni. And then, after the Bais Sheni was Chorev in the year 70, there was a machlokes deep into the days of the Amoraim, whether we still observe the Yomim Tovim on Megillas Tainis or not. Whether Batla Megillas Tainis or Lai Batla Megillas Tainis, the final conclusion was that all the Yomim Tovim are no longer observed, Batla Megillas Tainis, with the two exceptions of Chanukah and Purim. These were the two Yomim Tovim that were introduced that are still observed. What is the machlokes? Whether Batla Megillas Tainis, Lai Batla? So people who don't learn the Gemara, they just hear Baal Peh that all the Yomim Tovim are batal. So usually say a simple reason: the whole background, the historical background for all of these Yomim Tovim has already been forgotten. It was so many years ago. Like, I live in Washington Heights, so in Breuer's community, so there's some kind of a Frankfurt Purim. They leave out Tachnon. It's once every couple of years when there's an Adar Sheni, I think. So they leave out Tachnon one day, and no one remembers exactly, no one's alive today. It was a few centuries ago, something happened in Frankfurt. No one remembers what the story is, but they leave out Tachnon, and that's it. So usually people say that the reason why we don't observe the Yom Tovim of Megillas Stein is after the Churban Bais Sheni, because the whole historical background has been forgotten, so it doesn't make sense to celebrate. So it's beferish in the Gemara that that's not the reason why. The Gemara quotes a brayso. This is a big sugya in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches and Daf Yud Tes. So the Gemara there quotes a brayso that at one time the Goyim made a gzeira against the Jewish people. They shouldn't learn Torah, they shouldn't keep mitzvahs. And then the Rabbanim succeeded in undoing the gzeira, so they made a yontif. So the Gemara originally thought that this incident happened after the Churban HaBayis. So the Gemara asks Akasha, if the original holiday, if the original Yomim Tovim that were introduced, Bizman Abayis, are no longer observed, if Kamaisa, Batl, the original Yomim Tovim, were Batl, Achronaisa Mosifin, how do you have a right to add on additional Yomim Tovim? So it's a stunning Kasha. If the reason why Batl Megillas Tainis is because the historical background has been forgotten, it happened hundreds of years earlier, but this Yeshua just happened now, so why shouldn't you celebrate Yom Ha'atzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim just happened today? It's not a story from centuries ago. So you see from the Gemara that that's not the reason why Batal Megillas Tainis. Somehow the Gemara assumes that the Yom Tovim all have to have something to do with the Beis HaMikdash. Megillas Tainis revolves, all the Yom Tovim revolve about the Beis HaMikdash. And this they all agree. You can't introduce new Yom Tovim after the Zman HaChurban. All machlekes is the Yomim Tovim that were introduced bizman habayis that had something to do with the Beis Hamikdash, but now there's no longer a Beis Hamikdash. Do you still observe the Yomim Tovim or not? But to introduce the yontif that has bizman achurban, bizman that there is no Beis Hamikdash, for sure you have no right to introduce it. So the Gemara explains why. What do the Yomim Tovim have to do with the Beis Hamikdash? So the Gemara quotes the pasuk from the Novi Zechariah. I remember when I was a little boy, Medinas Yisrael was established in 1948, so the Balabatim asked a shayla, do we still have to fast Tisha B'Av? So the Rabbanim answered, yes, we don't yet have a Beis HaMikdash. We have a Medina, we're thankful, we're dancing, we're singing, we're appreciative, we still don't have a Beis HaMikdash, you have to fast. When the second Beis HaMikdash was built, so the Pasuk says in Zechariah, the Balabatim sent the shayla to the Nevi'im, to the prophets in the Beis HaMikdash, should we still fast on Tisha B'Av? Efka b'chodesh ha'chamishi hi nozer. Should I still cry? Chodesh ha'chamishi nisnir sivin tam zavav. Should I still cry on Tisha B'Av? as they had a minig that they fasted on Tisha B'Av. So they asked the Shaila, should we still observe the minig of fasting on Tisha B'Av or not? So the Navi responds with a very unclear answer. He doesn't talk out of both sides of his mouth, talks out of three sides of his mouth. He says, yes, no, maybe. All three answers. He says, Tzom HaRavi v'Tzom HaChamishi Nisanir Sivan Tamos. Shabasa Batamas is Tzom HaRavi v'Tzom HaChamishi is Tisha B'Av. V'Tzom HaShavi is Tzom Gedalia, Tzom HaSiri is Asar B'Tavis. So correlate Tzom. The Navi calls it Tzom. Until then, until the Navi gave this nevuah, the minig of fasting on Tisha B'Av is a minig. You want mechuyev. We have dinim deraisa, we have dinim derabbanan, we have minhagim. Then we have dinim derabbanan, there are a higher level of a dinim derabbanan that's called divrei kabbalah. Divrei kabbalah means something that's recorded in Kisvei HaKodesh. A takana derabbanan that has the approval of the Ruach HaKodesh, it's recorded in Tanakh. So until the yester shaila, so the fasting on Tisha B'Av was only a minig. They did on their own. And then the Nabi gives him a psak tzom arvi, the Gemara says, correlate tzom. The Nabi called it a tzom, so he mechiv to fast midivri kabbalah. It already became a higher level of a din derabbanan. In between a din derabbanan and a din deraisa, it jumped two levels, from a minig to a din midivri kabbalah. Then the Nabi says, tzom arvi, tzom ashvi, tzom ha. Hamish and son, Yihiyu l'sasen l'simcha l'beis Yisrael. You have to observe a yontif. So he's already talking out of both sides of his mouth. He says you have to fast, and you're not allowed to fast. And then the Navi continues to say, "What are you asking me, the shayla, whether you should fast or not? Are you listening to what I say?" The Navi says, "In the name of Rabbanu Shalom, I gave you the mitzvahs to send the avodim free after 6 years. I gave you the mitzvah Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras Hamishpacha. It goes through a whole list of mitzvahs, and you didn't listen." And I had to destroy the first base Amigdor. So you run. You're doing whatever you don't please. So do whatever you want. Do gizantei. You want to fast. You want to eat. Do whatever you want. You don't listen to what I say anything. So the Gemara says, what's going on? The Navi gives three different answers. First he says, you're mechuyev to fast. He made it mochomer. Then he says, you're not allowed to fast. Korele tzom v'korele yontev. And then he says, it's a dvar hoshus. So the Gemara says that the psak has three parts to it. The bizman that you have a Beis HaMikdash, you have to celebrate and eat and make a yontif. Bizman is not Beis HaMikdash. If you have open persecution against the Jewish people, like during the Holocaust. So Rabbanim said in Europe that the Jews were mechuyev to fast 24 hours, not just the Tisha B'Av. You have to fast Shavuos HaBetamos, Tzom Gedalia. There was open persecution against the Jews, so they had to fast 24 hours. Not just Achila Shtiyah. We today, we only fast by Yom and not by Laila. We only fast Achila Shtiyah. We don't observe the other Inuim because it's only optional. Because Bizman Hazeh, we live in a free country. There's no Beis HaMikdash, but there's no open anti-Semitism. There's no anti-Semitism. There's no open persecution against the Jews. So today, strictly speaking, it's Ratzim Misanim, Ratzim Misanim. It's optional. So regarding Tisha B'Av, mid the Rabbanon they made a takana, you have to fast on Tisha B'Av. And the Psukim, it doesn't say a difference. So the Rashban, Rosh Hashanah writes like that, regarding Tisha B'Av, they made a takana, the Rabbanon, that it's not optional. Regarding Asar B'Tevis, Tzom Gedalia, strictly speaking, it's optional. The Tosis quotes from the Halachas Gedolos that Bizman Hazeh Kvash Avyu Alay Chayva. Klal Yisrael has accepted it as a minig that you mechuyev to fast mitam minig. So it's only mitam minig, so you only fast in the daytime, not in the nighttime. You only observe chamisha. From the chamisha inuim, you only observe achil ashtiyah. You don't observe the other inuim. So the Gemara says the Navi gave a three-part psak. Why did Navi give such an obscure psak when he say beferish what he means? Rav Soloveitchik once made a comment. He says, when you have a shayla, you're not supposed to ask a Navi. You're supposed to ask a rabbi. So that's why when the Navi got, it says they sent the shayla to the Nevi'im in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Navi had an answer, but he gave an obscure answer. So he had to come on to the Gemara. The Rabbanim had to explain what the Navi said. So the psak was given by the Rabbanim, not by the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im are not supposed to, Gemara says, you're not supposed to, Navi is not supposed to paskin based on Nevu'ah, the Rabbanim have to paskin. What was the Shaila though? When I was a little boy, I remember they asked the Shaila, do you fast on Tisha B'Av? We have a Medina, we're on our way, things are beginning. So the answer was given, there's no Beis HaMikdash. What was the Shaila here? Why did they think that they should fast on Tisha B'Av? The whole fasting on Tisha B'Av over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Here you have a Beis HaMikdash. So the answer appears if you learn the Tanakh. It says like this: when they rebuilt the second Beis Hamikdash, the Navi Haggai encourages. The Gemara says the Rabban Shlom was upset. They were given permission by the government to go back to Eretz Yisrael and to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash, and everybody liked it in Muncie and in Borough Park. They didn't come back. Everybody stayed behind in Bavel. So the Rabban Shlom was very upset, and that's why the Beis Sheni was doomed to failure. It was going to be Chorev. The Psukim, will go back to the whole story. The Meragim came back on Tisha B'Av, the Gemara says. It was Tisha B'Av. And they were crying. And the Rabban Shalom said, Atem b'chisim b'chiyah shalchinem, ani akva lachem b'chiyah l'dervis. So that was on Tisha B'Av. They were told on that day of the Chet HaMeragim, when they come in Teresel, they're going to build a Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. It's not going to last. It doesn't say Mefurish in the Chumash, but it says Mefurish in Yecheskel and Tehillim. So the Netziv shows where there's a pasuk in Chumash also. He says that pasuk means, but even without the Netziv's pasuk, it says Beferish in Yecheskel and in Tehillim, on the occasion of the Chet HaMeraglim, the Rabban Shlom said that day on Tisha B'Av, Ani Akvar Lachem Mechil Ederis Beis Hamig Beis Rishon is going to be Chorev on a Tisha B'Av. So when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he knew that it was Asid Lehechor. So he said, Beruch HaKodesh and Shir HaShirim, what's going to be with the second Beis HaMikdash? Will that last? Will that also be doomed to failure? Will that also be destroyed? So he said, Im Chay Mahi Nivna Leha Turas Kesed, Im Delisi Natsuwa Lalu Acharis. So the Gemara in Yuma, in the first parak, explains what does it mean. Im Chay Mahi, when they'll have permission to come back after the 70 years of Golas Bavel, if the Yalu Kachoma, if everybody will move back, there'll be a strong aliyah. Nivna le'atiras kesef. The second Beis Hamikdash shall be like made from metal, kesef, metal. And kesef, metal, ein harekev sholabo. Metal doesn't right away. So, tarti mashma, it means two things. It means, number one, the second Beis Hamikdash will be everlasting. It won't be destroyed. And number two, that they'll continue to have Nevi'im. The Jewish people will not right away. Will be on a spiritual level. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send prophets. In Delasi, if it'll be a Shvach Aliyah, Dalasam, be a Shvach Aliyah, Notzu Aleh Luachoriz. Then the second Beis HaMikdash will be like a wooden hut. Like Luachoriz, Arozim, is wood, like a bungalow. A wooden hut. Rekiv Sholabo, it's going to rot away. So the Gemara says rot away means double. Number one, the second Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. And number two, the Rabban Shalom is not going to send any more prophets. So what happened? They were given permission by the Goyish government to go back to move to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Nobody showed up. Hardly anybody, a handful of people. How many? 43,000 people or something? There were millions of Jews. Hardly anybody showed up. And Ezra, it says, he was going back to Eretz Yisrael, and then he stopped by a river, and he asked, how many of you are Levim? There weren't enough Levim to run a Beis HaMikdash. He told everybody to wait. He had to go schlep more Levim. The whole purpose of going back was to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. There should be makor karbonos. You have to have a certain, you can't have 100 Levim. They'll drop dead. They can't be all day and all night. You have to have enough people to run a Beis HaMikdash 7 days a week and so on. So it was a disaster. So when they built the second Beis HaMikdash, they knew that it's not going to be of a lasting nature. It was also lehecharev. And the Rabban Shalom said he's going to punish them. He's not going to send any more Nevim, no more prophets. He had to send the three Nevi'im. The Gemara says, Gimel Nevi'im, all of him, I'm above all. The three Chagas Chaim Halachi had to come. Because that's Halacha. You can't build a Beis HaMikdash without authorization from a Navi. Even if you can figure out archaeologically where everything is, Kach Nemra Halacha. It says, L'shichna Sirushu Uvos HaShoma. So the Sifrei says, and that Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, L'shichna Sirushu Rosh Alpi Navi. You have to have a Navi if you're interested in rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. The late 1800s, Rabbi Kevega had a Talmud, Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, who was very, he wrote the Sefer, he wrote an open letter to the wealthy Balabas, to what's his name, to Rothschild, no? I think to Rothschild, that he should put up the money to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and it may turn out that he'll be the Melech HaMashiach. Because the Rambam says, the one who, see, sometimes you offer a person, give money, we'll name, we'll put up a plaque on the wall. So he gave him an offer, give money, rebuild, maybe it'll turn out you'll be the Mashiach, because the Rambam says the one who'll be instrumental in rebuilding Beis HaMikdash will turn out, may turn out, if he's from the Malchus Beis David, he's a descendant, it'll turn out that he's the Melech HaMashiach. So he wrote this whole Sefer, Dirisha Sion, we should all go rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So many Gedolim responded, You can't build a Beis HaMikdash unless you have a Navi. What are you going to get? You're going to get an honorary degree as a Navi. Honoris causa. You have to be a Navi. If you don't have a Navi, you can't begin to build a Beis HaMikdash. Even if you can figure out archaeologically where the Makom HaMizbech is and where everything is, you have to have a Navi to authorize. That's what the Gemara says. Each one had to say a different aspect of the Nevuah about where you build the Beis HaMikdash and what the dinim are, makriv and apishem bayis, and so on and so forth. So the three nevim are Chagas Chai Malachi, there were no more nevim. Ezra only speaks about his two associates, Chag and Zecharia. How come he doesn't talk about Malachi? There was a third one. So that's what the Chazal say. Malachi was Ezra. He had two names, the same person. So these were the three prophets. So the Navi Chagai has the prophecy that Rabban Shalom wants you to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, ve'ertzabo, this is my desire, ve'ikovda, I will be honored by your building me the Beis HaMikdash. So the word ve'ikovda is written in Sefer Chagai, in Treyosa, Chosehei. It's written ve'ikoved, it's a kriyaksiv, and we read it as if it were written ve'ikovda. So the Gemara in the first parak in Yuma asks, why do you need a kriyaksiv? Why don't you read it ve'ikoved? It's good the way he says. Why do you have such a flowery Hebrew, ve'ikovda? Ve'ikoved is correct Hebrew. It's normal Hebrew. So Gemara says no. It's ved v'ikovdea, even though the hay is missing, to indicate that there were five things missing. There were five major things that were missing in the Bayu Sheni. Which were the five major things? So the Gemara lists off five things. Then Rabbi Kiveger on the Gilyan Hashas refers you to another medrash that in the back of the Gemara, if you ever look in the Yifei and Ayim, he always gives you cross references to other Midrashim and to other Toseptas and Yerushalmis. So if you look in all the sources, there were 25 things that were missing in the Bayu Sheni. There were so many things missing that the old-timers, it was only 70 years in between the Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. There were a lot of people who reached the age of 80. They were 10 years old when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. They remembered what it was like. So the old-timers were crying when they built the second Beis HaMikdash. It says they were crying. It says, this is a fake. This is not this. This is nothing. This is not a Beis HaMikdash. And the Psukim say that the younger people, younger than 80, never saw Beis HaMikdash. They were dancing and singing and clapping and rejoicing. But the old-timers drowned out, the crying of the old-timers drowned out the singing and the rejoicing of the younger people. It's not to be understood, but there were so many people over 80. There were so few people, younger people. I don't know, but that's what it says. That's what it says. So they realized that there's a lot of things missing over here in the Bayis Sheni. So that's why they had a shaila. Maybe we should still fast on Tisha B'Av. We have a Beis HaMikdash, but the Beis HaMikdash is Ka'ayim Be'ayim. This is like nothing. It's a fake. It's not a real Beis HaMikdash. Missing too many things. So the Navi said, the Navi Chagai says, God Liya Kvod Abayi says, Ha'achim Min Arishon. You think it's Ka'ayim, you think it's nothing. It's not nothing. The glory of the second Beis HaMikdash will outshine the glory of the first Beis HaMikdash. How did it outshine? Didn't outshine. So it's a problem. So the Gemara in the beginning of Bava Basra on Daf Gimel has a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. In what sense was the Bayis Sheni Gorliya Kvora Bayis Hazeh Min Arishon? So one says it was taller and one says that it lasted a few years longer. But the fact that it lasted longer and taller, it still didn't outshine at all. It was still missing all the 25 things that were missing. So it's problematic. That pasuk is problematic. So that was the shaila that they asked. Should we continue to fast on Tisha B'Av as we had a minute to fast for the last 70 years? And then Rabbi gives the three parts to the answer, which were unintelligible until the Chachamim explained, make sense out of it, knock sense into the psak of the Navi. That when you have the Beis HaMikdash, you have to celebrate. And when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed and there's outright persecution against the Jewish people, then you have to fast from Divrei Kabbalah. But until then, it was only a minig. Now it was elevated to the level of Divrei Kabbalah. The Gemara has sometimes said, Divrei Kabbalah, Divrei Torah, Damyan. Tisha B'Av Bizman Hazeh is only Midirabbanon, says in Shulchan Aruch. So since only Midirabbanon, so Achol She'im B'Sakon is allowed to eat. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. The Tazi is the Kasha, it's not true. The Gemara says that Tisha B'Av doesn't depend on Ratzim Misanim, Ratzim Misanim. So it should still meet Divrei Kabbalah. So the Avnei Nezer points out that during the lifetime of the Taz, the Rashbo and Rosh Hashanah had not yet been printed. So he didn't know. The Taz had very few Svarim. Taz was a very poor man. He had very few Svarim. They say, in fact, that the Taz, there was a Mocha Svarim going through. He lived in Krakow. So Machil Svarim was one passing through Krakow. He had a Sefer Aguda. So the Taz had never seen it before. So he said he wants to borrow it overnight. So overnight he looked through the whole Sefer Aguda, and then he gave it back the next day. And he says, I can't afford to buy it. But he paid him a few dollars because he says he went through the whole Sefer. And they say whenever the Taz quotes from the Aguda, it's from memory. He's quoting from that. That's how the story goes. Taz, even if the Rajba would have been printed during the lifetime of the Taz, he probably would not have had a copy of the Rajba. But that's what the Avnei Nezer writes as a fact. The Rajba had not yet, and Rosh Hashanah had not yet been printed during the lifetime of the Taz. So he wasn't aware of the fact that the Rajba comments on that Gemara, that the Gemara says that Tisha B'Av is more chomer than the other Tanesim. And it doesn't depend on Ratzim Misanim, Ratzim Misanim. That's only a Chumer Midirabbanon, because in the Psukim, in the Divrei Kabbalah, it doesn't make a difference between Tisha B'Av and the others. So Bizman is that Tisha B'Av is only Midirabbanon, it's not Midirei Kabbalah. Taz thought that Tisha B'Av Bizman is still Midirei Kabbalah. So we pass on La Halacha like the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Ramban. That Tisha B'Av, for Chodesh Yom B'Sakana, you're allowed to eat. On Yom Kippur, that's a Din D'Oraisa, so then the only hat to eat would be a Chodesh Yesh B'Safek Sakana. A couple of years ago, they printed shiurim from Rav Soloveitchik, lectures, I don't know, talks from Rav Soloveitchik that he delivered on Tisha B'Av when he was going through the kinnis. So I don't have a copy of it. They just transcribed what he said. They didn't give marmakaimis, they didn't touch it up. So I was visiting by someone, happened to me in South Africa, I was visiting someone, so a fellow wanted to show me, I was staying at his home, so he wanted to show me, he has all this farm from Rav Soloveitchik, so he shows me this one, the latest sefer. So I had to start reading it. So I read the first four pages. There were two mistakes already. Halacha mice. So one mistake was halacha in this. The quote Rabbi Soloveitchik said, maybe he said it, but it's not correct halacha la mice. I'm sure he knows in the Shulchan Aruch it says not. So he said, Tisha B'Av has the status of a tiny sibah, so the only one is allowed to eat. There's a chayla sheyesh besakana. That's not correct. Halacha la mice. We paskin like the Shulchan Aruch, not like the Taz. We paskin chayla sheyesh besakana. Is also permitted to eat on Tisha B'Av. It's only Midir Rabbanon, it's not Midir Kabbalah. So again, so the Shaila made sense. They asked the Shaila should be fast on Tisha B'Av, because we have it based on Migdash, but it's a Shvacha Maisis. It's a Shvacha based on Migdash. They were all the old timers were crying. They knew this is not up to par. And the Nabi gave the three-part answer. So the Nabi spoke about an institution of celebrating when a Beis HaMikdash is built. What's that concept? To celebrate on the occasion of building a Beis HaMikdash. So this week is Parshas Truma. So the Ramban has on Parshas Noso, when the Torah says, when the Mishkan was completed, so they celebrated a lot. They had Shivas Imam Elohim, the last 7 days in Chodesh Adar, they celebrated. They brought special karbonis, and the first 12 days in Chodesh Nissan, Rosh Chodesh Nissan was Shmini Lemiluim, and the first 12 days in Chodesh Nissan, each one of the Nesiim brought a special korban, the Chanukas HaMizbeach. So the Ramban writes in his commentary on Parshas Noso, the end of Parshas Noso, has the same in the Sefer Mitzvahs. In his opinion, this is one of the 613 mitzvahs. Whenever you complete building of a Beis HaMikdash, hasn't happened so many times, whenever you complete building a Beis HaMikdash, you have to celebrate somehow or another. So when the Mishkan was completed, the Chumash says, Shivas Me'amiloyim, and the Yud Beis Nesiyim, Hanukkah's HaMizbeach, when the first Beis HaMikdash was completed, it says that Shlomo HaMelech celebrated Shivas Yomim and Shivas Yomim. He celebrated, people came from all over. Everybody came to celebrate. Then when the second Beis HaMikdash was built, it says they celebrated for 3 weeks. When the third Beis HaMikdash will be built, it says in the Novi Yecheskel, in the end of Yecheskel, when it gives the dimensions of the Bais HaShlishi, so it says that we'll celebrate by bringing special karbonos for 6.5 months. It doesn't say which year it'll be built, just says starting from Rosh Chodesh Nissan, the year is blank, up until after Sukkot. Rosh Chodesh Nissan until after Sukkot is 6.5 months. So we'll be celebrating by bringing special karbonos over and above the Tmidim U'Musafim, the Chanukas HaMikdosh. Some of the poskim in Europe wrote, there's a tshuva sefer Galya Masechta by Rab Dovidol Navardike. He was a contemporary of Rab Chaim Valojina. He has a famous hesped that he delivered for Rab Chaim Valojina. So he writes in his sefer Achidish that the Novi Yecheskel says Baruch HaKodesh, Navi Yechezkel is before and after the Churban Bayis Rishon. So the Navi Yechezkel prophesies that Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed, and when they'll be sent into Golas Babel, Ba'ehi Lahem LeMikdash Me'at, they'll have a miniature Beis HaMikdash there in Babel. What is a miniature Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara says in Megillah, Ele Batim Knesis Batim Midrash Shebe Babel. Gemara says that all the shuls all over the world and all the yeshivas all over the world have the status of a Mikdash Me'at, a miniature Beis HaMikdash. And some Rishonim hold that that's a real drasha, that's a real derasa, that's Taka Din Menatara. The Yireim is famous like that. Yireim says that the Chiyav Kovet Beis HaKnesses is a Din Derasa, Migdoshi Tiro. Migdoshi Tiro requires of the Beis HaMikdash, real Mora HaMikdash. Mora means Kovet square. Like Ishim of Tiro, there's a Din of Kibbut Aviyem, then there's a Din of Mora Aviyem. Mora HaMelech means more than Kovet HaMelech. Mora means Kovet square. So in the Beis HaMikdash, which is the real McCoy, the real Beis HaMikdash, is a din of the Migdashi Tiro, Moira HaMikdash. And in shuls and in yeshivas, but the Knesset, but the Midrash, Shebe Bavel, all over the world, it's not a din of Mar, it's a din of Kovet Beis HaKnesses. Yeah, what exactly is the difference? Why is this Migdash Miyat, and why is that a full Migdash? Rav Soloveitchik said, based on Igmar, the end of Brochus, the Beis HaMikdash is Beis Hashem, and we come to visit Him. The Beis HaKnesses, the Gemara says in Brachos, is Beisenu, our home, he comes to visit us. Both in the Beis HaMikdash. And in the Batim Kesias, the Batim Midrash is, there's, to use his Lashon, there's a rendezvous between the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and Knesset Yisrael. But the difference is, in the Beis HaMikdash, we're visiting him in his palace. So there's a din of Moira. And when he comes to visit us, it's our home, but the Shekhinah is coming to visit, so it's a p'china of Kovet, not a p'china of Mar. So that's called Migdash Miyah. We have a p'kisha with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, but he comes to visit us in our home, as opposed to us going to visit him in his home. So the Galya Masechta writes a chiddush, that according to this Sefer Yireim, that the Migdash Miyah is a real din deraisa. The Rambam also seems to hold like that. In the Minyan HaMitzvahs, the Rambam writes the din of Migdashi Tiro, the Rambam writes the din of Losasin Kein Lashem Alokechem, Noite Tzevin Menam Zbeach, applies to Bati Kinesias and Bati Midrashas. He writes it in the Minyan HaMitzvahs B'Ktzara. He doesn't write it in the Sefer HaMitzvah, he doesn't write it in the Mishnah Torah. When he has the abridged listing of the Minyan HaMitzvahs, beginning of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, so he adds on that line. So it sounds from the Rambam that he holds that Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, a Beis HaMedrash, is a Kedusha Deraisa, like the Yireim holds. Yachroidim point that out. Rav Soloveitchik was fond of pointing that out. That you see from the Rambam that he holds like the Yireim, that Kedushas Beis HaMedrash, Kedusha Beis HaKnesses is Deraisa. Some Rishonim say it's only the Rabbanon, the Rana Megillah holds that Migdash Miyat is only the Rabbanon, it's only an Asmachta. So the Galya Masechta writes a Chiddush, that this mitzvah min HaTorah, according to the Ramban, to celebrate on the occasion of Chanukah Sabayis, of the Beis HaMikdash, applies when you complete a yeshiva, you complete building a shul. It's also min HaTorah, it's a Mikdash Miyat, so there's a chiyav min HaTorah to celebrate. How many days he's celebrating, how many karbonas he bring, and which rabbi should hold the drasha on what, which chazan should sing, which niggun, which choir, so those are details, so that has to be negotiated, that you need a novi. To say which karbanos, okay, you have to work out the details. But in principle, the Rabban holds that it's a mitzvah min HaTorah to celebrate on the occasion of the completion of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So now, the Gemara understands that all of the Amim Tovim and Megillas Tainis all revolved about the Beis HaMikdash. When you complete the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, that's a chiyav min HaTorah to celebrate. Every time the Chashmonaim were victorious in battle, they made a yontif. Why do you make a yontif? Whenever Tzahal is victorious in battle, they make a yontif. It's not the same. There is no Beis HaMikdash now. When the Chashmonaim were victorious in battle, they won the war, but they preserved the Beis HaMikdash, because the enemy came to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. If they would have lost the war, they would have burnt down, they would have destroyed the whole Beis HaMikdash. So because the Chashmonaim were victorious in battle, that's what preserved the Beis HaMikdash. What happened Chanukah? The Beis HaMikdash was being used for Avodah Zarah purposes. There were Matami all the Shmonim, and there were Makru Karbonis L'Avodah Zarah. There were dead bodies all over the place, so they had to clean out the Beis HaMikdash, make a new Mizbeach, make a new Menorah, rededicate and make sure that it's only used L'Shamayim, for Hakrobas HaKarbonis. So they didn't complete the building of the Beis HaMikdash, but they cleaned up the Beis HaMikdash, and no more Avodah Zarah, and everything was Keshura. The Gemara says there were periods of time that the karbonos were offered by the show was run by the tzedukim. So they started counting sfira from Sunday. They count sfira from Sunday. And Shavuos always falls out on a Sunday, an extended weekend. That's what they said. They didn't believe that term in Hashemayim. They thought Moshe Rabbeinu made up the whole story. So they said, Moshe Rabbeinu, Oy v'Yisrael Hoya. He loved the Jewish people. So Pesach is 7 days, and Sukkot is 8 days. So you can have whenever you want. You have a yontah for a whole week. Shavuos is only one day. Who's going to take off in the middle of the week? Moshe Rabbeinu was Oy v'Yisrael Hoya. So they made an extended weekend. Shavuos is always going to be on a Sunday. So you take off. Shabbos and Sunday. It's nice. Who wants to take off one day in the middle of the week? He can't go anywhere. Extended weekend is better. So that was what they said. So he made that Shavuot should always be on a Sunday. So this is against the tradition. The tradition is Marchas HaShabbos means he starts counting Sfira the first day Chol HaMoed Pesach. Shavuot falls out whenever it falls out. So after years of having the Hakrovas HaKarbonos and the Beis HaMikdash taken care of by the Tzedukim, the Chachamim succeeded in kicking them out and running the show according to the Masoret. So they made a Yontif. When they straightened out, when they corrected the observance of Chag HaShavuos, so they made a yontif. The Kuri Gdoila is an institution of the Beis HaMikdash. The Sanhedrin is an institution of the Beis HaMikdash. Everyone has to meet in the Beis HaMikdash. So when they straightened out the Sanhedrin, they realized that the Sanhedrin was run by Tzedukim. When they kicked out the Tzedukim, when they straightened out the institutions of the Kuna Gedoyla, when they people made major donations to the Beis HaMikdash, different things, whenever there were improvements in the Beis HaMikdash, they made a yontif. So these Yomim Tovim, this like called the Tikkun Rabbanan, Kein Deraisa Tikkun. The Ramban says there's a mitzvah in our Torah to celebrate upon the completion of Binyan Beis HaMikdash, whatever it happens to be. It happened a few times in the history of the world. Moshe Rabbeinu finished the Mishka. Shlomo HaMelech built the Bais Rishon. And Ezra built the Bais Sheni. And Losid Lovet says in Yecheskel. And then Gali Masechta says every time you finish, you complete the building of a shul or of a yeshiva, there's a mitzvah Min HaTorah to celebrate, he says. But in addition to that Chiyuv Min HaTorah, there's a kiyum. Sometimes there's a kiyum mitzvah without a chiyuv mitzvah. If you celebrate every year in commemoration of the completion of the building Beis Hamikdash, or you celebrate upon the victory of the Chashmonaim and the preservation of the Beis Hamikdash, there's no chiyuv min haTorah. Beis Hamikdash was already built, but they preserved the Beis Hamikdash, so they improved the karbonos, they improved the various institutions of the Beis Hamikdash, and then every year after that, they celebrate in commemoration of that. So this is, the chiyuv is only with the Rabbanim, but there's a kiyum deraisa there. So that's what the Gemara said. That is the basis of all the Yamim Tovim and Megillah Steiners. You only have a right to the Prichodosh claims that it's an Issa Bal Tosif. Prichodosh says you're not allowed to make a yonta for all of Klal Yisrael unless it conforms to the rules and regulations of Megillah Steiners. The Chasam Sofer has a tshuva where he says, Chasam Sofer lived in Europe, he never was zeichet to come to Eretz Yisrael. So he says he heard that on Lag BaOmer and Meiron, they give haircuts to the children, and they dance and they sing, and they have bonfires and everything. He says he thinks it's a violation of Bal Tosa. They made a new yontif out of Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash, and he quotes the Prichodosh. You can't make a new yontif. In Europe, all they did on Lag BaOmer was they deleted Tachna. So to delete Tachton, there's no great shakes. But the Chassidim, they leave out Tachton every Monday or Thursday, they leave out Tachton. Rebbe Zayortzat, they leave out Tachton. Because the reason why, because the Rambam holds Tachton is a Choyfa. You mechuyif to say Tachton. And we don't follow the Rambam. We follow the tour, B'Shem HaGoyim, and Tachton is only a Rishus in the first place. So there's no great Avla if you leave it out. And leaving out Tachton doesn't indicate that the day is a Yom. You weren't mechuyif in the first place. If you didn't want to, you didn't have to say Tachna in the first place. It's only a Rishus. So Chasam Sofer wasn't upset over the fact that we leave out Tachna on Lag BaOmer in Europe. But to make it into a Yontif, like by Lubavitch, to have a whole parade, and a Meiron, they make a whole celebration. So he writes, in the first Shuva, he writes, "I ayashecheli avatline." If they would listen to me, I would abolish the whole observance of Lag BaOmer. According to the Pichorish, it's an Issa Bal Tosa. Then in the next Shuva, He backs out from the whole Prichodesh, backs out from the whole thing. But the first tshuva is a little more lumdish than the second tshuva. So that what are the rules and regulations of Megillas Tainis? So the whole story is based on that, the Ramban on Parshas Nosai, that there's a chovo min haTorah to celebrate upon the completion of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and then based on the Saka of the Novi Zechariah, when the Yes Toshadah should be still fast on Tisha B'Av, Hefka B'Chodesh HaChamisha Yinozer, and he gave the Psak, he says, Yir L'Sotzon L'Simcha L'Beis Yisrael, he said, when you improve something in the Beis HaMikdash, you make a Yontif, even though you didn't complete the building of the Beis HaMikdash now. And to celebrate every year in commemoration, also this is a Rishus, this is optional. So that's what the Gemara says, all the Yamim Tevim have to revolve about the Beis HaMikdash. You can't add on another Yontif. Shaila Bal Tosef. The Chaye Yodam writes in Hilchas Purim that there was a Sreifa in his home, and he almost got killed, and he saved his Svarim. So every year, in commemoration, they would make a party, and he composed a poem. He writes the poem, Al Kosiayin Nishte Givi, the Shira Nizam Lalakei HaMoshi. He has a whole poem that he used to recite. And people celebrate wedding anniversaries, people celebrate birthday parties. So he says, there's a Purim Frankfurt they used to celebrate. So they all raise the question, why isn't this a violation of Bal Tosef? It has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. So the Chayodim writes, and the Malbim writes also, and the Malbim writes at the end of his commentary on Megillas Esther, the only time it's an issue of making a new Yontif if it's celebrated by the Jews all over the world. Only celebrated by this family. He had a Sreif in his home, so he and his descendants celebrate. Remember, Rav Soloveitchik said, he remembers as a child celebrating, some he says they're related to the Tosef Yontif. The Tosef Yontif also had a fire, or something like that, or he was released from prison, something. So the descendants of the Tosef Yontif used to make an annual Sudas Hadoya, so they used to celebrate. Rav Soloveitchik said he remembers as a child participating in the party. I don't remember what did he have to do with the Tosef Yontif, but I don't remember the whole story. So the Chayodim writes, and the Malbim writes, that's not an issue. That's not, birthday party is not a Shaila about Tosef. It's only celebrated by this family, wedding anniversary. If it's celebrated by all of Klal Yisrael all over the world, then it looks like a Yontif. And then the Prichar says, you have an issue about Tosef, unless it conforms to the rules and regulations of Megillas Tainis that has to do with the Beis HaMikdash. So then the Gemara comes to the conclusion, after the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so what are you celebrating? Now is the time to observe Avelis. We have to mourn over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. Doesn't make sense. We should celebrate over the fact that we used to have a Beis HaMikdash. We used to have, but we don't have anymore. So the Gemara is, okay. The Gemara says, Chanukah and Purim are the two exceptions to the rule. That's a discussion. Why? Why is that so? So on that Gemara, the Shagas Aryeh has a Sefer on Rosh Hashanah that's called Turi Evin, a knockout Sefer. Shagas Aryeh is Gevaldik. So the Shagas Aryeh asks Akasha, according to the tradition of the Chachmei HaGemara, the story of Purim occurred before the building on the second Beis HaMikdash. There was no Bayi Sheni. There was no Beis HaMikdash at all then. The historians keep on switching back and forth. Every 75 years they switch back and forth. It was during the period Bayi Sheni, it was before the Bayi Sheni. I think now they still hold like the Gemara. There was before the Bayi Sheni. Another couple of years they'll change their mind back and you have to say a Chiddush. So they'll say Faket. But the Gemara is consistent. There are no two versions. The Gemara has consistently, the story of Purim occurred before the Bayi Sheni was completed. Rashi on the Megillah quotes from the Gemara. When Achashverosh says to his wife, sweetie, whatever you want, I'll give you at Chatzi HaMalchus. Chatzi HaMalchus was in the middle of Sheva B'Yesra, Memeh Medina, was the Beis HaMikdash. Says, I won't, if you ask me for that, I won't rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So according to the Chazal, the story in many Midrashim like that, the story happened before the completion of the building. It was in the middle of the building and it was stopped 2 or 3 years before the completion of the building of the Bayi Sheni. So the Shagas Aryeh is, and his Sefer Turi Evin is bothered with the Kasha. How did they have the right in the first place to establish a Yontif of Purim if there was no Beis HaMikdash? The Gemara says, yeah, you're not allowed to. Prichodesh says that it's an Issa Bal Tosef. Purim is celebrated by the Jews all over the world. Why isn't there a violation of Bal Tosef? It has nothing to do with the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Nesivis, who wrote the commentary on Chosh Mishpah, Rav Chavetz Das wrote some of these svarim. The Nesivos has a commentary on Megillas Esther that's printed in the regular Mikros Gedolos that's called Megillas Storim. So he writes towards the end of the Megillah, towards the very end, Perek Tes or something. He writes this kasha. What right did they have to establish a yontif? Same kasha as the Shagzari. There was no Beis Hamikdash. So he says the Chachamim in that generation sized up the situation, and they felt that this was Aschalta de Gula. What does Aschalta de Gula mean? When I was your age, the Turekarta loonies used to distribute their leaflets every week, every Friday, and they used to still have a Rav Cook had passed away before I was born. Cook died in 1934 or something like that, way before. 1935, something like that. Gimel El, whatever year it was, Gimel El. So they were still attacking, they're still fighting, they're still fighting Muhammad from 100 years ago. They didn't realize the war was over already. The Jews won the war. they're still fighting Muhammad. So they were attacking Rav Cook. So they were printing, the Turekaita was printing in their weekly Shabbos pamphlets, the Rav Cook, as if Rav Cook was still alive. Rav Cook talks about Aschalta de Gula. So the Hungarian rabbis were attacking him. There is no such thing. Either you have Gula, you don't have Gula. No such thing as Aschalta de Gula. Rav Cook invented a new term. So that much I knew on my own. Rav Cook didn't invent the term. The concept appears in the Gemara. The Gemara talks about Aschalta de Gula. Gemara Megillah, Gemara Sanhedrin, that I knew on my own. This I don't know on my own. People who study Zohar claim that it appears many times in the Zohar. In the Gemara, it only appears twice, the expression. You have to have the intelligence of a 40-year-old to study Zohar. I'm not up to that yet. So, but people who study Zohar say that the term appears many times in the Zohar, Aschalta de Gula. So what is Aschalta de Gula? So if you know what Gula is, then you know what Aschalta de Gula is. So what's Gula? So the Ramban has a commentary on Chumash. Everybody knows that. The Ramban has a Hagdomah to Chumash, to his commentary on Chumash Mos. By mistake, in most of the old Chumashim, it's printed at the end of Parshas Vayechi. It should really, I imagine now, in the new Chumashim, they probably print it in the beginning of Shmos. That's where it belongs. It's not the epilogue to Bereishis. It's the introduction, it's the prologue to commentary on Shmos. So he explains that Sefer Bereishis is all about the beginnings, Bereishis, the beginning of the world, the beginning of mankind, the beginning of the Jewish nation, the three founding fathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So Sefer Bereishis is the book of all the beginnings. Then it says Sefer Shmos, in one word, Sefer Shmos is about the first Golus, Mitzrayim, and the Geula therefrom. Then he poses a question, what do you mean? But they don't come back to Eretz Yisrael until after the end of the Chumash. Moshe Rabbeinu only writes till the end of Dvarim. And Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed to come into Eretz Yisrael, so there still was no Geula. So the Ramban says wrong. The Geula is at the end of Chumash Mos. This week we're reading Truma. Going to have Truma Tetzava Bayakol Piku. There are the four sedras about Binyan Amishkan. Ramban says that's called Geula. That's called Geula. He says the Golus was not so much that the Jews left Eretz Yisrael. That was a tragedy. But the main element of the main aspect of the Golus was that when Bnei Yisrael were living in Eretz Yisrael, they had a Hashruas Hashchina. What he calls, he paraphrases a pasuk in Sefer Iyov. He uses an expression: they had Soda Laka Ale Ohalem. They had Hashruas Hashchina. And Chazal say in the pasuk in Chumash Bereishis, it says Vayal Me Olav Elokim, that the Shechina was resting on Avram Avinu, and then the Shechina went away. So the Chazal have a comment: Ha'ovis Hein Hein Hamarkova. The Ovis Avram Yitzchak Yankov were in a certain sense a Merkova for the Shechina. They used to have Ashuas Hashechina. When Yankov Ubonov Yordu Mitzrayim, when they went to Mitzrayim, so they no longer had this Ashuas Hashechina. So that was the Iker Nekuda of the Golus. It's a tragedy to leave Eretz Yisrael. We should always remain in our national homeland. There are many dinim. The Tziruf of Klal Yisrael, the Ikat Tziruf is in Eretz Yisrael. But the Ramban says the main tragedy of the Golus is that we lost the Hashuas Hashchina. But then when you come to the end of Sefer Shmos, they didn't return back to Eretz Yisrael, but they had a Mishkan. That Mishkan is Hashvas Hashchina. So that is Geula. That's the definition of Geula. The Gemara says in the first parak in Rosh Hashanah, we accept the opinion of the Tana, B'nissan Nigalu, B'nissan Hasidim Lahi Goel. Geula Hasidim will take place in Nissan. What do you mean, B'nissan Nigalu? So people think that it means Yitzias Mitzrayim. I don't think it means that. How do they know B'nissan Hasidim Lahi Goel? Who told them the secret? B'nissan Nigalu means that the Mishkan was completed in Chodesh Nissan. The first 12 days of Shmini Lemiluim was Rosh Chodesh Nissan, and the first 12 days of Nissan were the Karbonis of the Nisim. B'nissan Hasidim Le'igol, that's the Pasuk in the end of Yecheskel. It says, Losi Lavai, they'll bring Karbonis, special Karbonis, L'chanukas HaMikdash HaBayis HaShlishi, starting from Rosh Chodesh Nissan till after Sukkot, the 6.5 months. That's what it means. B'nissan Nigalu, B'nissan Hasidim Le'igol. Gula means the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So if you use this definition of the Ramban, that Gula means Binyan Beis HaMikdash, then the Gemara has a term, Aschalta de Gula. What's Aschalta de Gula? Something that is going to lead towards the building of the Beis HaMikdash. What's going to lead towards the building of the Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin has a din, Hachof from the Beis, and the Rambam quotes it, Pergalef Aloch Aleph in Hilchas Malachim. Rambam quotes verbatim the Gemara, Gimel Mitzvahs, Nitztabi Yisrael Bichni, Sosim La'oretz. The Jewish people became obligated to observe three mitzvahs when they returned, when they entered Eretz Yisrael. So the first mitzvah was, and it has to be in order, in this order. First mitzvah is Lahamid Lahamelech, to establish a Jewish government on all of Eretz Yisrael. People mistakenly think that the Ramban is the one who came up with that mitzvah. The Ramban deletes many mitzvahs of the Rambam, mitzvah sesei, mitzvahs lo sesei, and the minyan mitzvahs, and it has to replace them with other mitzvahs. So the Ramban has a list of mitzvah sesei that the Rambam forgot to mention. So mitzvah dalet is the famous mitzvah Rabban has to establish a medina. So people think that's the machlekes, because the Rambam and the Rabban, is there a mitzvah to establish a medina? And the Rambam holds as a mitzvah. That's not correct. The Rambam counted the mitzvah. That's Lahamed Lamelch, to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban's kasha and the Rambam was, he forgot to mention the mitzvah that all the Jews have to live in Eretz Yisrael. He quotes the pasuk, "V'harashtem misa'aretz yishavtem bosa." The first half of the pasuk, "V'harashtem misa'aretz," you should grab hold of Eretz Yisrael and establish a Jewish government. That the Rambam also counts that mitzvah. That's Lahamid Lamelech, to establish a Jewish government all over Eretz Yisrael. That's Bein Laharam and Mein Laharamban. They both believe in Zionism. The machlekes is, what about the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? So the Ramban holds that should be counted as a separate mitzvah for some reason or another. Various suggestions why the Rambam failed to count that mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. But the mitzvah Hamodas Melech, to establish a Jewish government, that the Rambam also counted. So the Rambam quotes the Gemara. First is Lahamid Lamelech, then Lahach Rizara Shel Amalek has to be done Derech Melchama. It says Melchama Lashem Ba'Amalek Midor Dor. There's a din of wiping out Zayin Umis. So that says Hachrim Tachrimim. So the Rambam writes a din in Hilchas Malachim, and he writes this dinim. So he says, if you're walking down the street and you bump into someone who has a chiti, amor, apriz, ayus, vagigoshi, one of those people, and you had in your power to kill him and to get away with it, if I'll kill him and they'll punish me, they'll kill me. So I'm not mechuyev to be moisa nefesh to kill the zainomis. But if he says, I can get away with killing the zainomis, you're mechuyev to do it. I'm not part of a melchama, there's no Jewish government, there's no Jewish army. No, that's a din hachrim tachrimim. That's a chayvus harigo. But by Amalek, he doesn't write like that. If you're walking down the street, you bump into an Amalek, you have to kill him. That's not correct. They say from the Chassam Sofer like that. In the biographies of the Chassam Sofer, they have Baba Mises, they have true things, and Baba Mises mixed in. So they have a story that the Chassam Sofer once decided that a certain goy was an Amaleki. He looked at his face, he looked at his nose joint. He knows what Amaleki is supposed to look like. And he said, drown him in the mikveh. So he went and drowned him in the mikveh. There is no such din. You don't identify an Amaleki based on his nose, based on his teeth. And there's no chiv to kill an Amaleki on a private basis. It's a din mochama l'ashem ba'amalek medodah. It's supposed to be mochama, derech mochama. Mochama means you have a Jewish army sponsored by a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't matter. The Queen of England claims to be a descendant from the Malchus Beis David. So that's not called Malchus Yisrael. The British army is not called Malchus. It's not called Machne Yisrael. You have to have a Jewish army sponsored by a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, and they should wage war against Amalek. That's Muhammad HaShav Amalek. So the Rambam writes the Gemara, quotes the Gemara. First, you have to have a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. Jewish government has to sponsor an army. The Chazon Ish writes about in the Sefer Erevin, the end of the first parak. He says it may have been written during the Mechemet HaShechrur. I'm not sure before. He writes that it only has a din that Mishnah in the end of the first parak in Erevin have special dinim for Machne Yisrael, the Jewish army. So he says only if there already is a Jewish medina that sponsors the Jewish army, then it has a din of Machne Yisrael. If you have the Irgun, or whatever, you have a group of Jews who are fighting to establish a Medina, that doesn't have a din of Machne Yisrael. They have a chiv to fight. Ramban says there's a chiv to put together an army and to establish a Medina. But Kozman, you don't have the Medina that's sponsoring the Jewish army. It doesn't have the din of Machne Yisrael yet. So that's why these three mitzvahs go in order. First is you have to have a Jewish government over Eretz Yisrael. The Jewish government has to sponsor an army, a Jewish army. And that Jewish army has to wage war against Amalek. Not Stam, kill Amalek. The Jewish army, sponsored by the Jewish government, Eretz Yisrael has to wipe out Amalek. And then the Pasuk says, Ki anich lecho mikol ayvecha misaviv, and you wipe out Amalek, then there's a mitzvah to build a Beis HaMikdash. When there's still tumbling and you still didn't wipe out Amalek, there's no mitzvah to build a Beis HaMikdash. I remember right after Mohammed Sheshet Hayamim. So there was tumbling, we should build a Beis HaMikdash. We already have the Harabais, we have a Chiv to build a Beis HaMikdash. So Rav Soloveitchik said, what are they, crazy? They're talking about giving everything back. They're still enemies, they're still attacking the Jewish people. There's no mitzvah to build a Beis HaMikdash until it's absolutely peaceful in Eretz Yisrael. If they wipe out all the enemies, when it's peaceful, then it says you build a Beis HaMikdash. No, if to build a Beis HaMikdash, calls man, you have all the enemies who want to destroy Eretz Yisrael. So those are the three mitzvahs you have to do in order. So the Nesivus writes, on the occasion of Nes Purim, they felt that this was going to lead up to the Binyan Bayis Sheni. They felt this was an Aschalta de Gula. Why so? It says because they killed Haman HaGogi. And Agag was Melech Amalek. So it's usually assumed Haman was an Amaleki. That's the question, is it really true? Haman HaGogi means he was Taka descendant from Agog, he was an Amaleki, or he acted like Agag, he acted like Amaleki. So that's a question. So the Nesiva is, that's a discussion in Yerushalmi. What does it mean Haman HaGogi? So the Nesiva in his commentary on Megillah says the things that the Chachamim, he writes like this. He says they initially thought that this is Mechias Amalek. Mechias Amalek is in line to lead up to Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So that's an Aschalta de Gula. And then he said, he adds on, they came to the realization that they judged wrong, and it didn't lead up to Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and nothing to do with Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So in order not to violate the Issa Baltesif of introducing a Yontif that has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash, so they knocked off part of the observance. The Gemara says originally Purim, the Gemara points out in the Psukim, originally says Lasus Hostam Yom Tov, Mishtav Simcha Shlachma, and it says Yom Tov. Yom Tov means Issa Malacha. Then when it's repeated the second time, the word Yom Tov is left out. It just says Mishlachmanes, Matanes Levyer, Mishtav Simcha. Why'd they leave out Yom Tov? So the Gemara says originally the Takana was that there's an Issa Malacha. Then later on they changed it. So the Nesivus claims that's the reason why they changed it, that if they would have made it a Yontif with an Issa Malacha, originally they thought this was an Aschalta de Gula, and they have a right to make a Yontif. And then they realized it has nothing to do with Binyan Beis HaMikdash, so they abolished the Issa Malacha in order not to violate the Baal Teis. The Pashtus is that that's not the way we usually learn. Many Achrayim say they did away with the Issa Malacha for a different reason, that the Sefte writes in Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Hurrius has, the Bezin can be Goizik Zera Latziman, can Rev Atzi Bicholim Lamedban. Bezin has the right to make a Takana de Rabbanon, unless the Rov Hatzibah will be able to observe it. You can't make life impossible for the Jews. The Chachamim are authorized to make life a little difficult, to make Zera de Rabbanon, but to make life impossible, that's too much. They take off a whole day from work, and no one can go to work on. Usually people don't go to work anyway on Purim, but a lot of people have to go to work. You have no Breira. So originally they made an Issa Malacha, and then they saw the Rebbe Tzibi and Yicholim Lamedbo. So that's why they did away with the Issa Malacha. It has nothing to do with the Megillah's Tainus story. So it's usually assumed The answer of the Nesivis is correct. The Sfasemis writes the same answer. The Sfasemis is the same kasha as the Nesivis, as the Shagasarya. How do they have the right to establish the Yandav Purim in the first place? If it happened before the Binyan by Sheni, if there's no Beis HaMikdash. So it doesn't have anything to do with the... It's an Issa Bal Taisu. It doesn't conform to the rules and regulations of Megillas Tainus. So the Sfasemis, in one of the drushes for Purim, writes... This was Samus al Tayr. So he writes, it was he doesn't use the Lashon Aschalta Degula. He saw this was a step that was going to lead towards the building of the second Beis Hamikdash. And just like David HaMelech composed Mizmishah Chanukas Habayis LeDavid. What do you mean Chanukas Habayis? David HaMelech wanted, he was chalashing to build the Beis Hamikdash. The Navi told him, you're not allowed to. Dam Rab Shafachta, you killed a lot of Palestinians. Killed all the Plishtim, you killed all the terrorists, you did a big mitzvah, but you're not allowed to build a Beis Hamikdash. Mikdash has to be built by a peaceful person. You're going to have a son, Shlomo, he's going to be a man of peace, Shalom. During his lifetime, he's going to be peaceful. The Beis Hamikdash has to be an Asati Shalom, a Mokam Azed, that refers to the Beis Hamikdash, the Mokam Shalom. The Beis Hamikdash has to be all Shalom. So David HaMelech was not permitted to build the Beis HaMikdash. So what's he composing? Mizmashir Chanukas Habayis LeDavid. So the Sfasema says he was preparing Al Shem HaOsid. The Pesukim say a Navi. And the Gemara talks about it by Riches. Maseches Avodah Zarah. Whenever David would be successful in battle, he was always successful. He was always successful in battle. So whatever he would take, the gold and the silver and the copper and the precious metals, he would be magdashid for the Beis HaMikdash. He was chalashing to build the Beis HaMikdash. Then the Rabbi said, you're not allowed to. But he was always preparing. And he was told his son Shlomo is going to be a peaceful man, he's going to be peace during his lifetime, and he's going to be the one to be zeichet to build the Beis HaMikdash. So the Sfasema says, he was preparing in advance for the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and he composed Mizmashir Chanukah Sabayis L'dover Al Shem HaOsid. The Gemara in Zvachim has a, and Af Chavdala, the Gemara has a startling Gemara. The Gemara has a discussion, Ki Kodesh David Ritzpo, when David HaMelech was Mekadesh the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, was only Mekadesh the upper layer. What if one of the big stones was removed, and the Kohen stands with his foot on the earth, below the stone, does that have Kedushas HaRitzpo or not? So the Gemara has the discussion, when David HaMelech was Mekadesh the Ritzpo, was he only Mekadesh the upper surface? So Tosfos says, David HaMelech was Mekadesh the Ritzpo. The Navi told me he can't build a Beis HaMikdash. And you can only make the Kiddush B'Shas Binyan. So what's David HaMelech doing B'im Kaddish? So we're not sure exactly what the answer is, but apparently David HaMelech had a lot to do with the building of the Beis HaMikdash, or being the Kaddish of Beis HaMikdash. He wasn't allowed to do the building, but he was Mekaddish something. He did compose Al Shem HaOsid, Mizmishan Chanukas Habayis LeDavid. So that's what the Sfasema says, the Chachamim, and it's came out the same thing as the Nesivis said, but he doesn't use the Lashon Aschalta Degula. The Nesiva says they felt it was Aschalta Degula because they did Mechias Amalek. Mechias Amalek is one of the two steps that lead up to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So they thought the next step is going to be, this is going to lead to the next step. And he thinks that, and the Nesiva thinks they made a mistake and they readjusted. And the other Achranim think they didn't make a mistake. They judge correctly. Why do they think it's going to lead to the building of the Beis Sheni? They felt that if Esther has a foot in the door, in the government, she's married to Achashverosh. So Mestama, this will help. Achashverosh said, darling, at Chatzi HaMalchus, anything but building Beis HaMikdash, but she'll butter him up a little bit, and ultimately she'll succeed in getting the Beis HaMikdash built. The Pasuk says in Nehemiah, there is no book of Nehemiah. Ezra Nehemiah is one book. We have it. There's two books. We follow the Christian Bible, unfortunately. So Ezra is one, and Chem is another. The Gemara says there are only 24 Svarim in the Kisvei HaKodesh. So Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Beis is one book. There are Yom Aleph and Beis is one book. And Melachim Aleph and Melachim Beis is one book. And Ezra and Nehemiah is one book. And the Gemara has a whole reason why the book of Nehemiah was not Nikar al Shmo, why it's not a separate sefer. But Lemaisa, in chapter 1 in Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse 1, the chapters are also from the Christians. It doesn't correspond. You look, the chapters in the Chumash, it's all the Christian division. It doesn't correspond to Rashi, the way Rashi explains, the way the Chazal understood it. It's all cockeyed. So unfortunately, we use the Christian Chalukah Satana. So in the first verse in the book of Nehemiah, Rashi tells you, who is this guy, Artaxasto? He was the king who took over after Ahasuerus died. So who was his mother? Rashi said his mother was Esther Hamalka. His father was a goy, Ahasuerus, and his mother was Esther Hamalka. And he was the one, so the chapter begins, the book begins, Nehemiah is the butler to the king, and he serves the king breakfast in bed. And it says in the Pasuk, an unclear expression, Bashegel Yosheves Etzlo. And the woman was sitting there on the side. It doesn't say which woman, his girlfriend, his wife. So the Malbim says it means his mother Esther. Because otherwise, you don't understand the story. The story says, Nehemiah serves him breakfast in bed, and the king says to Nehemiah, Madu panecha roim hayom? How come you have a sad face on today? Why are you so sad? So he says, some Jews just came from Eretz Yisrael, and they said how sad the situation is, that they don't let him build Yerushalayim, and they're giving him a hard time. So just like this, out of nowhere, the king, the Goy Shekim, Artaxerxes says, he signs a blank check, as much money as you need, go supervise, go rebuild the walls of Yerushalayim, go rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and as much oil and wheat, whatever you need, I'm supporting it. Why did he support the building of the Beis HaMikdash? So that's what the Malbim suggests. Maybe Hashegel Yeshevet Etzel means that was his mother. Esther Hamalka was there. And she said, look here, kid. You're Jewish. I'm Jewish. We're all Jewish. You better support the cause. You better build the Beis HaMikdash, even if you don't learn like the Malbim. But he knew that he was Jewish. He had no Jewish education. Didn't learn in a yeshiva or anything. He wasn't observant. But the Gemara says, for the first period of his kingdom, it meant something to him. That he's the Jewish king ruling over Eretz Yisrael. In the Tanakh, sometimes his government is labeled as Malchus Yisrael. He was a Jewish king ruling over Eretz Yisrael. And sometimes after a certain point, his kingdom is considered Malchus Umas Olam, like a Goyish government. So the Gemara, how can you tell the difference? So the Gemara says the first daf in Rosh Hashanah says that Rosh Hashanah l'malchi Yisrael is Echad B'Nissan. If they appoint a new king in Ador and it comes Rosh Chodesh Nissan, that's Shana Shniyah l'malach Ploni. And by non-Jewish governments, by non-Jewish kings, Rosh Hashanah l'malchi Yom HaSoylam is Echad B'Tishrei. So the Gemara has stiris in Psukim in Tanakh regarding this character, Artaxerxes, who was the son of Esther and Ahasuerus. That's the first Rashi on the Nehemiah. So at certain points in his life, the psukim switch the years of his kingdom when it comes to Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Another psukim in Tanakh, the years switch when it comes to Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. How come? So the Gemara says, "Kad koinim shehechmitz, kan lacha shehechmitz." Calls man that it meant something to him. He was king of Sheva v'Yisrael Mimei Medina. Accidentally, by an accident of history, he was Jewish. And accidentally, he was a king over Eretz Yisrael. He's king of 127 Medinas. So the whole thing was a big accident. So Koidim Shehechmitz, the Gemara says, it meant something to him. Like Ben-Gurion writes in his autobiography, he claims that he was an atheist. Probably a liar. Probably not true. He was always quoting from the Tanakh. He used to fight with the Rabbonim in the Knesset. He used to quote Psukim. He used to go back and forth. What kind of an atheist was he? But whatever. So maybe he was an atheist, but it meant something to him. This is a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. He's running a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. So that has a status of Malchus Yisrael. There were kings in Tanakh who forced the Jews to worship Avodah Zarah, but it was a Jewish Avodah Zarah. The Rishonim said it wasn't. They wouldn't worship Goyish Avodah Zarah. They're Jews. So they worship Jewish Avodah Zarah, not Goyish. So that, those governments have the status of Malchus Yisrael. So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, the first sugya, calls man that Artaxerxes, it meant something to him. He had the awareness, this, like Ben-Gurion, was an atheist. And he says, he's running a Jewish government. He's a Jewish king ruling over Eretz Yisrael. So he had the status of Malchus Yisrael. Apparently, after the mother died, and there was no effect, nothing left, nothing Jewish left by him. He had no Jewish education, nothing. So the Gemara says he reached the point, he became so secular that nothing meant anything to him. So it didn't mean anything to him. He's a Jewish king ruling over Eretz. So it was an accident of history that he was Jewish. His mother accidentally happened to be Jewish. And it was a rule over Sheva V'Yasa Mimei Medina. The whole thing is one big accident that didn't mean anything. So L'Acha Shehechmetz, then if it's such a secular Jewish government, and Eretz still now, as much as everybody complains, as much as the religious Jews complain about the government, the secular Jews complain more about the government than the religious Jews. They're complaining the government is supporting religion too much. The Jewish, the religious Jews are complaining the government is not supporting religion enough. But it's obviously a Jewish government. They have kashrus in the army. You don't like the standard of kashrus. So they give you a klat kosher if you want. I remember I was once going with a Yedidya Atlas. He was driving me to give a shiur in Bethel. So he had to stop off somewhere to give some guy some klat kosher flesh in the army. Because he didn't want to eat the regular. So the guy had his own pot and he had to deliver the klat kosher flesh to him. How can you say that it's a goyish government? Ben-Gurion would claim to be an atheist, but he said it's a Jewish government for the Jewish people. The kings in the Tanakh were forced everyone to worship Abed Azar, but it was Jewish Abed Azar. So the perception of the whole world is it's a Jewish government here. Otherwise, why does the United Nations have, why do they have so many complaints against Eretz Yisrael for? Obviously, it's a Jewish country with a Jewish, everybody knows that. Why are the Arabs so upset about it? And why is Russia so upset about it? Obviously, it's a Jewish government in Eretz. So of course, it's a Malchus Yisrael. So the others usually assume, not like the Nesiva said, not that they felt that it's Chalta the Lula because they wiped out Amalek. Nah, that's not the wiping out Amalek. Wiping out Amalek has to be, you have a Jewish army sponsored by a Jewish government. That's not Mechias Amalek. He felt it's Aschalta de Gula because Esther was married to Achashverosh and she had a foot in the door in the government, so they felt that's going to help. That's going to help to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And Lamaisa did help. The one who rebuilt, the one who paid for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash was Artaxasta, her son. We read the Megillah in an hour and then the story is over. We think the story was over. The story was not over in an hour. The poor girl, Esther Hamalka, nice religious girl, had to live with the Goy forever and ever, and they lived happily ever after. She had to live with the Goy forever. And Vayodah Bonam Abonis, they had a lot of children. The story was not over after an hour. She lived with the Goy for a long, long time. And when the Goy dropped dead, her son, who was Kamata, Goy Goma, he was Jewish, he took over, and he was the one who rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. So it's interesting. There was such a tragedy. A Jewish girl had to live with the Goyish king, and everybody knew about it. The Gemara says it was an Aver B'Frahesya. The din should have been Yehorek V'Yabah. Why was she allowed to live with the Goy? You're not allowed to. There are three cases where you say Yehorek V'Yabah, Abed Azor, Gilera, Shuchas Damim. But any Aver B'Frahesya is Yehorek V'Yabah. So the Gemara has a whole discussion. How is Esther allowed to live with Achashverosh? Why wasn't Yehorek V'Yabah? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin works it out. But it was clearly a tragedy. That the Rabbanim felt tragedy, hind tragedy. Morgan, he said, this is Haschalta de Gula. They felt, and it doesn't necessarily mean Baruch HaKadosh, the Nesiva says they made a mistake. He says they thought it was Haschalta de Gula, then they realized they made a mistake, so they changed the Takana. So you don't have to have Baruch HaKadosh. If it would have been Baruch HaKadosh, so how could they have made a mistake? So he said, you don't need Baruch HaKadosh to determine whether you're holding by Haschalta de Gula. Haschalta de Gula is a halachic concept. They attacked Rav Kook that he said Aschalta de Gula. The Munkacha, who was the main antagonist, Munkacha Rebbe was the main anti-Zionist. He used to curse the Zionists. He used to curse the Mizrahi, and he used to curse the Aguda more than the Mizrahi. The Aguda, he has in his Jew, he's a Menchas Oluza. He says the Aguda are worse than the Mizrahi. They're fakers. They claim they're opposed to Zionism. They're also Zionists in the heart. A bunch of fakers. He was cursing everybody. There's still people alive today who remember that it's still shaking today from the curses that they heard from the Minchas Olos. He used to curse all the secular Zionists, curse the Mizrahi, curse the Aguri. We're the only ones who are doing right. The anti-Zionists, they're the only ones who are doing right. He was, so even the Minchas Olos, he has a tshuva, got to pronounce it right. As a tshuva, where he talks about during the First World War, he didn't live so long to see the Second World War. He died before. But during the First World War, so there was a talk, the possibility that they should have it, there should be goyim of tainus, that the war should end. Many Jews were losing their lives in the First World War. So he has a tshuva where he says, you can't be goyim of tainus, because the Gemara says, Muhammad are aschalta de gula. So he understood, he quotes a Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer wrote a diary that was printed. So the Chasam Sofer lived through some Prussian-Austrian war, whatever, and the Chasam Sofer wrote at that time, that's Aschalta de Gula. Chasam Sofer understood, in the Minchas Olos, he writes also, all wars in the world are Aschalta de Gula. All wars in the world are going to lead to Binya Beis HaMikdash. With all due respect, Rashi on the Gemara does not learn like that. Rashi says, when there's a war, a Mechemet HaShechrur in Eretz Yisrael, and the Jews win the war, that's an Aschalta de Gula. There's a war in the First World War in Europe. First World War, the Prussian Austrian War, what has got to do with Haschalta de Gula? Rashi says the Melchama is about who's going to be the Balabas over Eretz Yisrael. So if we won, then it's Haschalta de Gula. It's going to lead to something. What is the First World War? Anyway, but he goes like the Chassam Sofer. So he says, all wars in the world are Haschalta de Gula. And you're not allowed to slow down the Gula process. So if you're going to be going to Tainis that the war should end, you're slowing down the Gula process, you're not allowed to. You have to let the war keep on going, and people are going to lose their lives. What can you do? You're not allowed to slow down the process. So he holds, he's talking about Aschalta. He didn't have Roch HaKodesh to say the First World War was an Aschalta de Gula. He understood that that's what it says in the Gemara. All wars in the world are Aschalta de Gula. And he gave a psak based on that. You're not allowed to be Goyzer Tainus. Then he gives another reason. He says, you can only be Goyzer Tainus Tzibur if there's going to be Tshuvas HaTzibur. It only makes sense to have to be Goyzer Tainus if the Tzibur will do Tshuva. So he says, the Tzibur is going to do Tshuva. The secular Zionists, they'll never do Tshuva. The Mizrahi, they're worse than the secular Zionists. The Aguda, they're worse than the Mizrahi. We don't have to do Tshuva. He says, we didn't do anything. We're the only ones who are doing right by being anti-Zionist. We're the only ones. That's he writes in his Tshuvas. All of his Tshuvas are very nice. But very normal Tshuvas, except for those about Zionism. It's just goes out of his mind. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. They're silly. The tshuva is about Sinai. I'm Amish silly. How does it compare to the other tshuvas I written normally? He was so fuming about the Zionism that just went out of his kalem. He wrote silly things about it. So it's interesting. We're living in a period. They established the Medina in 1948. So the question is it Haschalta de Gula? How can it not be Haschalta de Gula? Establishing Medina is the first of the three mitzvahs. La'amelamelach, la'chazar shalamalak, livnes lem beis abchir. So the question is, well, maybe the Medina will fail. Maybe it'll close up shop. Either the Arabs will succeed in closing it down, or the Jews will decide to give everything away. The Jews may close it down. And then we'll have to establish a Medina all over again. So who says that the Hakamas HaMedina 1948 is going to lead to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash? Maybe we'll have to close it down and then start all over again. So we have a Sefer HaGula by the Ramban. Now it's printed in the Kol Kisvei. Years ago it used to be printed as a separate little pamphlet. Sefer HaGula has a lot. He repeats what he writes on Chumash by the Teuchiches, and then he has more. So the Ramban there has he writes that the two Teuchiches correspond to the two Golios. The Teuchichem Chukaisai corresponds to the Churban Bais Rishon and the Golas Bavel, the Shivim Shon and Golas Bavel, and the Teichichan Kisovai corresponds to the Churban Bais Sheni and the Golas Edom that we have now. Some Rishonim say the reverse, but that's how the Ramban says. And then the Ramban explains it in Chumash, and he has in the Sefer Aguli, repeats it. He says, the Teichichan Kisovai never mentions Churban Bais HaMikdash. Teichichan B'chukosei does. How come the Teuchach and Kisava doesn't even mention the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? So he says, because even when it was Bibinyana, it was not great shakes. It was missing so many things that people had a shayla. Maybe we have to fast Tisha B'Av during this Man Bai Sheni. And it's still not clear whether they did fast Tisha B'Av and Bai Sheni. In Josephus, it says that they did fast on Tisha B'Av and Bai Sheni. Rav Zevin points it out. And he said, he quotes Machlekes Achreinim, what was the story? Did they fast Tisha B'Av or not? The Navi gave such an unclear answer when he asked the Shaila, should we still fast Tisha B'Av? So you don't know Arayah Mazeh, whether they fasted Tisha B'Av or not. So Josephus was a general in the Jewish army at the time of the Churban Bais Sheni. He writes that they did fast on Tisha B'Av before the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So the Ramban writes, the second Teuchach corresponds to the Churban Bais Sheni. So the Beis HaMikdash B'Binyona was missing so many things. It was no great shakes to speak of. So it's not even worth mentioning V'Hashem Mosi Es Mikdashechem. The Beis Rishon, that was a real Beis HaMikdash, that was the real McCoy. So that the Pasuk mentions V'Hashem Mosi Es Mikdashechem. So then the Ramban says, and we have the promise from the Navi. The Navi says, there will only be two Churbanos, there will never be a third Churban. So that's famous. Rav Herzog was the second chief rabbi here in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Kook was the first chief rabbi by the Ashkenazim. They always had two chief rabbis, Ashkenazim and Sfarad. Originally it started because each one did different shchitas. The Sfaradim have a lot of kulas and hilchas dreifas, and Ashkenazim are machmer. Then the Ashkenazim have one kula that outweighs all the kulas that outweighs all the chumers that we have, removing sirchis. And the Svardim insist on glat kosher. So they had to have two different shchitas when they gave kabbalah, when they gave permission to shochtim to shecht, and people should eat. So they had it. They had to have the rishon letzion, the Svardish chief rabbi had to give kabbalah to shochtim who are going to shecht like the Svardim shecht, and they had to have the Ashkenazim had to have their own kabbalah. That's why traditionally they always had two chief rabbis because of the shchita was always different. When they offered the chief rabbinate to Rabbi Soloveitchik at a certain point, so I think Rabbi Nissim was at that time the Sephardic chief rabbi, so he said, Rabbi Soloveitchik comes to be the chief rabbi, he'll step down. If he comes, we don't need two chief rabbis. He'll take care of the Sephardim and Ashkenazim, but he never came. So they still have two chief rabbis. So Rabbi Herzog was famous. Iftach Komas Amedina. So people were concerned. The Arabs were attacking, and there was a war that was going on for a couple of months. I remember my father, as a little boy, my father used to subscribe to some magazine that came from Eretz Yisrael Shabbos. It was a weekly magazine. A beautiful, I was a little boy then. I used to, way before Bar Mitzvah, I used to read the essays there. They had essays there that I never saw anywhere else anybody write about these things. Beautiful essays. So I remember it always used to come late because of the war, because of Mechemet HaShechur. That magazine used to come out only Tavshin Ches, Tavshin Tes, something like that. So because of the war, everything came late. So Rav Herzog was the second chief rabbi. He was a very big goyin. He was a big goyin, a big tzaddik. He was known as a big tzaddik and a very big Talmid Chacham. Every Friday, all the Gedolim used to gather at his home and talk and learning. It was Moiridik, Rabbi Zalman Melzer, and all the Gedolim Hatorah. They all would see Pesach Frank. All the Goyim used to talk and learning. So he traveled around the whole world after Hakamas Amdin, and he kept on saying, the Chazal promised us, we have Haftacha, there are only going to be two Chorbanos, there won't be a third Chorban. That's what they say when the Mechemet HaShechur broke out, so Rav Elbel Soloveitchik already was in Eretz Yisrael. He ran away from the Nazis and he lived in Yerushalayim. So during the war, there was talk that he was considering leaving to go to Switzerland during the Mechemet HaShechur. He wouldn't be able to help out in the war effort. He's just going to get in the way. So what's he going to do? He's going to fight in the war. He didn't know which way to hold a rifle. He's not going to be able to deliver the mail. He's not going to do anything. So there was a possibility he would go to Switzerland. So they say, the story goes that Rav Herzog came to visit him. And he said, you shouldn't leave. We have a Kabbalah, we have a tradition that there are only going to be two Chorbanos, there won't be a third Churban. Meaning only two Chorbanos of the Medina, there won't be a third Churban HaMedina. So he said, he responded, that's how this story goes. So Rav Dovala responded in Yiddish, and I have a Kabbalah from my father as Mashist and Leifman. If they shoot, you run away. So what does it mean? There's no contradiction. What they both said is right. Rav Herzog said the Medina will not collapse. The Medina will not be undone. He said, yeah, but people are going to get killed. So I can't defend myself. So if they're shooting, I may as well run away. So that's Rav Herzog is famous for that. Herzog is famous for that. So that's based on, where does that come? What do you mean? The Chazal told us only be two Chorbanos. So there are many Midrashim that have that point. And the Ramban emphasizes that point. And he says, it doesn't mean there won't be a third Churban based on Migdosh. No. The second Teichecha only talks about the Churban HaMedina. It never mentions Vashemoseh as Migdosh. So the Ramban explained why, because the second Beis HaMikdash wasn't such great shakes b'binyonim that you should mention the Churban. It wasn't such a major thing, the Churban by Sheni. So and the Ramban bases it on the Psukim in Novi, that it says, when the Jews will return back to Eretz Yisrael and establish a Medina, it's a haftarah. The Jews will never be sent into Golas again. It means there won't be a third Churban HaMedina. There were two Churbanos. The first Medina was in the days of Yeshua ben Nun and the Shoftim and the Malachim till the Churban Bais Rishon, that was the Churban HaMedina. And then the Bais Sheni, the Chashmonoim, till the days of the Chashmonoim, there was no Jewish government. There was no independent Jewish government. Then the Chashmonoim established a Jewish government for over 200 years till the Churban Bayis Sheni. So then there was a Churban HaMedina, and that's what the Nevi'im tell us, there won't be a third Churban HaMedina. So that's why we assume, based on the... You put these together, Geula means Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Aschal to the Geula means something that's going to lead to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Akamas HaMedina is the first step. Lahamid Lahamelach, Lach Rezar Shalom Olek, Livnes Lahem Beis HaBchira. So the question is, well, who says that Hakamas HaMedina from 1948 is going to lead to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash? Maybe that Medina will be undone, we'll have to start all over again. So the answer is, the Ramban says not. So the Ramban says, based on the Psukim in Novi, there won't be a third Churban HaMedina. So the first couple months, then the first couple years, everything was shaky. We weren't so sure that, who says, maybe it was an attempt at establishing a Medina. Maybe it wasn't really a Medina, like Bar Kochva lived 7 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni, and Rabbi Akiva supported his government, and he declared himself the king, and he minted coins. And now we're using those coins for the purpose of Pidyon Bayis Sheni. Can only do Pidyon Bayis Sheni on Matbeis, that a coin minted by the government. And then his whole government collapsed. So don't you see that there was a Churban HaMedina? So the answer is no. In the history books, it doesn't go down. You look in the world history books, it doesn't go down as the government of Bar Kochva collapsed. It goes down as an attempted revolt against the Roman government. He attempted to rebel, and the rebellion was a failure. He never established a government. But it's already over 60 years since Hakamas HaMedina, since 1948. It was a long time ago. So you can't say, what, this is an attempt at establishing a Jewish government. There is a Jewish government here. It's on the ground. It's going. You like it, you don't like it, but there clearly is a Jewish government. If the government will close down now, if the Arabs will succeed in destroying the Medina, or the Jews will give everything away, or the government will become so secular, it'll become so secular, be like Atachshasta Lachash Echmitz, so it won't be considered a Malchus Yisrael anymore, so that'll be a Churban HaMedina. But that's what the prophets told us, there won't be a third Churban HaMedina. So that's why we assume that the Hakamas HaMedina is an Aschalta de Gula. And even though Ben-Gurion was a character, and they were doing terrible things under Ben-Gurion, they were cutting off the payas of the religious children, and they were taking children and giving them to people from the Holocaust who were unable to have children. So they would take children and tell the parents, your baby died, and they gave them over to other people. Scandalous. They were doing scandalous things that in any normal, decent country, they would never do that. They told parents, your baby died, and they didn't tell them where's the dead body, and the baby didn't die. They gave the baby over to someone else. And now, years later, they're discovering who the parents were and who the children were. It's a scandalous thing, terrible things. But in the days of Esther, Mordechai was also terrible. A Jewish girl was married to the Goyish, a Shikir, a king, Achashverosh, and they were married forever and ever. They lived together for years and they had children. It was a great tragedy. It was an issue, should have been Yoharik Bayavar. And the Gemara says, why it's not Yoharik Bayavar. It was a terrible tragedy, and the Chachamim of the generation saw through the tragedy, and they felt this is Aschalta de Gula, and you have a right to make a Yontif. So that's similar to what we're living through in our time. When they made the Medina, in the early years, there were so many terrible things going on. Yeah, it's much better than it ever was before. There's so many terrible things going on, and still the Chachamim felt at that time, this is an Aschalta de Gula. Schalta de Gula, we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's interesting. You know, the Yirmiyah says Terchocha to the Jewish people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. He made a bris with the Jewish people at Har Sinai. And we violated the bris, so he's going to. He gave us Eretz Yisrael on the understanding that we're going to follow the bris, we're going to follow the Torah. We didn't follow, so he's going to destroy. The Navi Yirmiyah says in advance, he's going to destroy the Beis Hamikdash. He's going to send the Jews into Golus, and he's going to have to make a new Krisis bris. Bris Chadasha. That's what the Catholics claim. They call the Gospels. They call it the New Testament, the Bris Chadasha. I don't know how the word bris comes to mean testament. Testament is Agoras Eidus. Bris is a covenant. I mean, the whole translation. The whole translation is wrong. But they call it the Bris HaChadosha. They call the Gospels they call it the New Testament. That's the Bris HaChadosha. What is the Bris HaChadosha? What is the Navi talking about? Charati itchem Bris HaChadosha. The Navi Yirmiyah says, I'm going to have to make a new Chris's Bris, and this time it's going to be engraved on your hearts, and you won't be able to shake it off. This is going to be the everlasting Bris. And this will enable us to come back to Eretz Yisrael. You have no right to Eretz Yisrael unless you make a Chris's Bris. So the first time we entered Eretz on the days of Yeshua ben Nun, we had a Chris's Bris at Har Sinai. And our forefathers violated the whole Bris. So the Navi Yirmiyah says the Bris is off. The Baruch Hashem is going to have to make another Bris. Where was the other Bris? So you read in Nehemiah, it says that they made a Bris Amono. Representatives of each one of the 12 Shvatim signed a document in the Beis HaMikdash committing themselves to observe all of the mitzvahs HaTorah. So that was the official Bris Amona. That was the Christian's Bris. But the Chazal say more than that. That was after the Beis HaMikdash was built already. But the Gemara says on the occasion of Nes Purim there was a new Kabbalah HaTorah. The Gemara comments on the Pasuk Kimu v'Kiblu. The Loshon Kiblu sounds like Kabbalah HaTorah. So the Gemara explains the whole reason why. Kimu Mashi Kiblu Kvar. They ratified, they did the second Kabbalah HaTorah. The first Kabbalah HaTorah was at Har Sinai. And the Medrash explains it was Kof Aleim Harki Gigas. The Jews didn't really want to accept the Torah. Tosfos says to the Gemara, what do you mean the Jews didn't accept it? They said Nasa V'Nishma. They said they do accept it. So the Medrash Tanchuma on Parshas Noach explained, the famous Medrash Tanchuma explains, when the Rabbi Shalom, they asked what's going to be in the Torah. So the Rabbi Shalom said, what's going to be? So he said, Shabbos Kashrus Taras HaMishpacha. So I said, okay, it doesn't sound so difficult. You look at Chumash, Shabbos, Kasher, not so hard. What's so hard about that? So he said, Nasa v'nishma. Then he said, well, Shabbos, there's a Sefer Shmira Shabbos Kehilchosa. And he quotes a lot of Chazanish and a lot of Mishnah Berurah. And Kashrus, you have a whole Yeridaya. And Taras HaMishpacha with a lot of chumrah. So they said, we're not interested. So that was Kof Aleim Harkin Gigas on the Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebichsav is easy, shleazy. But the Torah Shebal Peh, the Medrash Tanchuma says, that's Koshi Kishol Kino Rishafeh Rishveyesh. Torah Shebal Peh is very complicated. So that they never wanted to accept. So that was Kof Aleim Harkin Gigas on the Torah Shebal Peh. And the Gemara says, Hode Kiblu B'meach HaShveyesh. After the Nes Purim, Av Asanes, they decided it's kedai to accept Kabbalah HaTorah anew on the Torah Shebal Peh. So that was the Bris HaChadosha. V'charat Etchem Bris HaChadosha was the Chris's Bris of Kabbalah HaTorah Kimo V'Kiblu, and the official document was the Bris Amona that the heads of the 12 tribes signed. That's in the Book of Nehemiah, I think Perek Yud or so, where it describes the signing of the Bris Amona. That's interesting. All the laws of Gerus are learned out from Maimon HaSinai. The Gemara increases, Daf Tesamanav learns out all the dinin. Ma v'sechem lo nichnasu lebris. Your forefathers, our forefathers at HaSinai, had to have bris milah. The bris milah Mitzrayim was not only to enable them to eat the Korban Pesah, that was the first step in Gerus. And then the Gemara says they all had to say Nasa v'nishma, that was Kabbalah on mitzvahs, then everybody had to go to mikveh. The Chumash only says about the married people going to mikveh. They had to be purish from their wives 3 days before. No one should be a balkeri, none of the women should be poleta shichva zera. But the Gemara shows where it says in the Chumash that the single people had to go to mikveh, also everybody had to go to mikveh. That's the din of a ger, shenizgar has to go to mikveh. And then it says at the end of Mishpatim, last week said, they had to bring a korban. That's a din ledoris, a korban hager. The Gemara says, all the gerim who are misgayib is manazed. The korban is not miyakev, but the gerim who should live so long to see the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash will all be mechuyev to bring a korban hager. So all the dinim I learned out from Maimon HaSinai. You need kabbalas on mitzvahs, nasav and nishma. You need milah for the men and tefillah and a mikveh and a korban to complete the geris. And then the pasuk says another thing. It says, Moshe Rabbeinu read from the Sefer HaBris. How come when we are Mekabel Ager, we don't read from the Sefer Torah? What happened to the... If you're learning everything out from Maimon HaSinai, how come we don't learn out the Kriya from the Sefer HaBris? So the answer is, that was an exception to the rule because the bris was made with the tzibur. That was a communal krisis bris. That was a kabbalah zater for the whole tzibur. When you have a yochid hamizgayer, an individual non-Jewish person wants to convert, so it's his personal kabbalah zater, but it's not a communal kabbalah zater. So the reading from the sefer bris, that's only when you have the whole tzibur is doing kabbalah zater. But on the occasion of Kim of the Kiblu and the Nespurim, that was again. The community was Mekabel, Kabbalah Satorah Shabbat Peh, again anew. Because the first time is Kof Aleim Har Kigigis. So, Hodi Kiblu B'mei HaShverish, there was a new Kabbalah Satorah. So where was the laning from the Sefer HaBris? So the Gemara says, the Megillah Sesta has the status of a Sefer HaBris. The Gemara comments on the Pasuk, Dibre Shon of the Emes, that the Megillah Sesta is Kamito Shal Torah. It's like the real McCoy. What's the real McCoy? So Rashi says the Sefer Torah. Taisus disagrees with Rashi, but Achrenim point out that Yerushalmi is beferish like Rashi. Amitu Shal Torah means the Sefer Torah. So just like in the days of Maimon HaSinai, there was a Kabbalah Satorah by the Tzibur, and it was required to have a Kriya from a Sefer HaBris. So on the occasion of Nes Purim, there was a Kabbalah Satorah again on the Torah Shebal Peh, a communal, a Tzibur Dike Kabbalah Satorah, so they needed a new Sefer HaBris. The Gemara has special dinim. Megillah Sesta is different from all the other svarim in the Nevi'im Ksuvim. There's a special status of a Sefer HaBris. The Gemara has dinim, Shulchan Aruch, they're dinim. How it's different from the other Kisvei HaKodesh. So Megillah Sesta is the Sefer HaBris. A lot of people celebrate Purim, they get stone drunk, and they throw up, and they don't know what in the world they're doing, and it's like a Jewish Halloween. Not supposed to be a Jewish Halloween. It's supposed to be a very serious Yontif of Kabbalah Satorah. You're supposed to have in mind when you hear the Megillah, this is the Sefer HaBris. Like Moshe Rabbeinu is reading the Sefer HaBris for the new Kabbalah Satorah. We should. One Chassidish Rebbe, I already forgot which one. My father was a Talmid Chacham, he passed away. So he had a lot of Svarim at home. I should have gotten the Svarim Yerusha, but my nephew doesn't like. My nephew wants to have all the Svarim, so be it. So I remember which Chassidish Sefer I read this in, but it's one of my father's Svarim. So he writes, on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, it says the people were sleeping, and they were counting Sfira to lead up to Maimon HaSinai. Then in the morning of Matan Torah, everybody's sleeping. They were counting in anticipation of Kabbalah Satorah every day. How many days it is of Sfira? The Medrash says that the mitzvah of Sfira Simon was given as a zecher to the anticipation that Bnei Yisrael were counting from Yitzias Mitzrayim till Maimon HaSinai. And then the morning of Kabbalah Satorah, they overslept. And the Rebbeinu Shel Olam had to wake them up with tal, had to cause the dew to fall down to wake them up. So what happened to the whole excitement of Kabbalah Satorah? So this Chassidish Rebbe, I forgot which one it was, he writes in his Sefer, the two types of Nevuah. All the other Nevi'im get the Nevuah in a dream. Moshe Rabbeinu had peh al peh. He had behokitz v'lo b'chalom. So when Bnei Yisrael were preparing for Maimon HaSinai, they thought it's going to be a Nevuah like the other Nevi'im. So they went to sleep. They were counting in advance 49 days, and then they said, okay, let's go to sleep to be Mekabel the Nevuah. The Rebbeinu Shlomo woke him up. He said, no, you're all going to be Nevi'im. Like Moshe Rabbeinu, this Nevuah is going to be Bahakitz, Velo Bahalom. So that's Maimon HaSinai. But on Purim, the Gemara says you have to drink Ad Lo Yada. So what does it mean, Ad Lo Yada? So the Ramah says, you have to drink till you become drowsy and you take a nap. So taking the nap, that was the original plan. Bnei Yisrael thought that the Kabbalah Satorah is going to be in a dream. So the original Kabbalah Satorah was B'hokitz V'lo B'chalom, like the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. But the second Kabbalah Satorah of Purim, that's supposed to be in a dream. So you're not supposed to get drunk and act like a shikr. And not do any mitzvahs and throw up and mess up your clothing and your apartment. It's supposed to be a very serious yontif of Kabbalah Satorah. And all the yamitayvim in the Megillah Steinis, the only one that has a chiyav suda is Purim. None of the others have a chiyav suda. The others were all abolished. They were only left with Chanukah. So in Shulchan Aruch they pointed out the only yontif that has a suda is Purim. And the Gaonim explained why. The Rav Yor quotes from the Gaonim the reason why, because Yom Shenitnah B'Torah. The Gemara says Shavuos. All the Tanaim agree that you have to have elaborate meals. On Pesach and Sukkot, it's a machlokes. Can you just be yotze with a tuna fish sandwich, or you have to have elaborate meals? And on Shavuos, Hakol Moedim Batzeres, to be in an army, Lechem, you have to have elaborate meals. Yom Shem Nitin Batorim. So the Goyim say the same is true on Purim. The reason why there's a Chiv Sud on Purim, unlike all the other holidays of the Megillah Steinis, because it's Yom Shem Nitin Batorim. So it's supposed to be a serious yontif, like Shavuos, Kabbalah Satorah, and then Megillah has a status like a Sefer Abris. You're supposed to get drunk and take a nap. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. You're not yotze if you get a drink at night. The Biskirah pointed out in the Rambam, you're only yotze the mitzvah of drinking on Purim if you drink in the middle of the meal. People drink not in the meal, they're not yotze. The Rambam writes, as a chiv suda, and the suda should be busted, v'yayin adalo yoda. You should have fleshiks. The Rambam seems to hold you're not yotze with milchiks. You have to have a fleshik meal. And the fleshy meal should have basa v'yayin, and the yayin should be adalo yada. You should bench and then take a nap afterwards. That's the adalo yada. When you're sleeping, so you don't know ben horaham and lebarach markheim. We should observe Purim the correct way. It's a serious yom. You're supposed to learn on Purim. Shloshim yom koidim chagat Pesach. You have to start learning Hilchos Pesach. So Purim is the 30 days before Pesach. You have to start learning. And then the Gemara says, you should learn Maseches Megillah. You should learn the Dinim of Megillah, the Agarata, the Pirushim on the Megillah Sester. You shouldn't just waste the whole day doing nothing. Waste away the whole day. It's supposed to be a very serious yontif. Okay, I spoke too much. Dude, whenever I go speak somewhere, they have a choice not to invite me next year. I can talk as long as I want. They don't like it, so they won't invite me next year. So they don't invite me next year. Okay, so we want to have discussions, yeah.